You know, I want to ask you another question. In terms of like, because you've had so many accomplishments, what would you say is one that really stands out to you? Like one of your moments where you're like, man, that's awesome, man. Like you kind of just, because I know as musicians, it's a constant process. Like we're never satisfied, right? So it's like we're creators, so we're always creating. But was there ever a moment where you were able to at least pause for a second and enjoy, you know, something and say, wow, that's dope to see my music in that?
I first of all, this business is, I mean, at least probably the music business at large, but definitely the lane I'm in at the moment, the trade of the music world, it's like the film business. It is, it's risky. It's not a thing that you go, I want to raise a family and buy a home. I'm going to become a composer. I mean, people do that. You follow your bliss. Absolutely, it's doable. However, it's not on its face as rock solid as getting a job in corporate America. Although, how that's just kind of risky too, from my point of view. Yeah. But that's a big preamble to say that every time I get a placement, I'm incredibly grateful because while I know that I'm setting the bar high for myself first and foremost on every track that I do. It's to outdo my last track. Mm-hmm. By nature, then it will, I mean, after all the years of doing this, I will have had to have by now developed enough skills so that I know it meets a certain bar. So I know it's going to, you know, meet the bar of what the industry is looking for. So that's covered. But I need to make sure that I'm impressing myself and making sure that I'm holding myself accountable and that I'm bringing the heat on that track every time and hopefully outdoing the last. And then everything else falls behind that. Like, okay, then the music supervisor will probably like it too, you know, if they're into my stuff or whatever. So, but I can't take a lot of responsibility for what happens after the music supervisor loves that track and or the editor and they start cutting to it, because then there's this whole luck scenario where it's miracle that it gets placed at all. Like that trailer house is competing with another trailer house, possibly for the same trailer with another composer who's, you know, because it's the same kind of movie, they're working in the same genre that I'm working in for that lane, like it's modern horror or something, which means that other composer is a baller probably already because it's for, you know, the other big trailer house. So it's like at that point, it's out of my hands because they're competing. Oh, then the studio's got to give their notes and maybe, you know, it's amazing and the studio just happens to like that one just like 5% more and then that one.
Yeah.
So even getting a placement is like, that is like a highlight. And that seems like a, you know, maybe a cop-out answer, but, you know, dude, you can go in this business, you can go months without getting a placement and then you can have win after win after win after win. So that's just something you get used to and you learn to, I guess you do learn to celebrate the wins when you have them and don't hold your head up too high, don't get too cocky. And then also when you're in the dry period, you don't get too bummed out because it's like that's gonna end,
you know? One of my favorite sayings, Brent, not to cut you off, humble's the new cocky. You know what I'm saying? Humble's the new cocky. So it's like, you know, just stay level headed. You know, don't get overexcited when you get the wins and don't get too down when you get the losses. Just they're right there, you know?
There was one that I was kind of like a moment for me that I felt like, okay, cool. That worked. I don't know if it's repeatable, but it was fun to try. I mean, I'm always like trying to set goals for myself and, you know, a particular either track that I'm working on or planning out the next kinds of tracks I want to work on based on the ones that I just did and, you know, where will I be creatively? I've already done too much horror, so I'm going to get back into like, you know, more groove-based tracks or whatever, that kind of stuff. And one of the goals I set a few years back was that I want to make a track that is suitable for a theatrical trailer, but it's not going to be, you know, like hybrid orchestral, which is something that I could do, but it's not, I can't do it. At the speed that other players that are my peers and competitors on the same label / publishers can do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is another example of like picking your strengths and working in that lane to best optimize your results. You know, like I can work in different styles, but do I want to bother playing in those areas if they're not, if other people are already doing that? It's like that blue ocean territory concept from business, right?
Right.
Like, I'm going to hammer this one lane in these two genres. I'm going to become known for that. And, you know, if anything, it's going to, that consistency is going to deliver results in that area, and it has. So that one area, within that one area, I wanted to get a theatrical trailer, though, based off of a sound design type track, which is something with no orchestra. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to make sure that this track is just paced in such a way, structured in such a way, and has every single component I now know a trailer editor would want for a trailer. And for people watching who don't know how trailers are made, and a lot of people don't, you don't actually, for most cases, you're not working to picture. So it's the opposite of, like, say, scoring a film, where you're working to a visual of the movie and you're composing to what you're seeing on screen to support the visuals. For trailers, you're generally working in a style of music in your studio. You come up with the track, it goes to a trailer house, and the trailer house grabs the track, and then they cut a trailer to the beat of the music, or to several beat of several tracks. And so you're kind of helping really set the pace and the tone for the trailer, and that's actually really kind of cool. But there's nothing to look at. So I'm just like, you know, pick the style, pick the genre, make the track, but make sure that it has everything that the trailer editor needs, so that they won't need to go outside and grab pieces from a construction kit, from some other release, or they won't cut in other composers' work. Not that I have any problems with that. It's just that it was a goal of mine. I want to get the entire trailer. And I was able to do that from that track. So it's like setting a target, and then hitting that target was really fulfilling, because it's you know, I can't take, again, complete responsibility for that, because there's a lot of luck involved. I don't know how many other trailers were out for that or were being worked on for that same movie. It was Chaos Walking that came out in 2021. But one of my tracks was like the whole track for that trailer then. And then after that, I was like, well, I'm gonna try and do that again. And I was able to do it a few more times. But it's also like, it's not a thing you can like, there's not a lot you can like set a target at and bam, you nail that target every time you're shooting the shot. Best thing you can do is just keep doing the best work you possibly can, and then set general targets and going, am I tired of this area yet? Do I want to move on to something else? And you know, it all depends on the scenario. But that was one thing that was really fulfilling, because it felt really empowering. Like, I made a decision to do something and I did it. And that was ownership. Even if I can't take complete ownership of the success of getting that placement, I felt I set myself up for success by setting that target. And that's not something that I would ever, ever done for the younger version of me, like 20 years earlier. 10 years earlier, I wouldn't have done that. 5 years earlier than that, I would not have done that. And what makes that really fulfilling and impactful for me is that it was the beginning of my, again, later in life journey, but hey, maybe that's wisdom of age too, but it's the beginning of my journey of appreciating the sacrifices that it takes for someone like you or myself or any other of the artists and musicians and producers or composers watching this podcast right now, you know, to take ownership of the sacrifice that we make to jump into this crazy world of music production and licensing and looking for success and continuing on with it until you get there. Because I'm sure you know this too, bro. It's like there are plenty of talented people, and talent doesn't make success necessarily. It certainly helps. You know, I had an innate thing for sound and playing stuff on piano. I wasn't a prodigy, but I had an innate thing that I could work with. And for quite a lot of years, I watched people who didn't have those innate things have all kinds of success all just success. Because they kept showing up and because they're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Yep. No one told me I can't. I'm going to do this. And meanwhile, I'm going, well, no, I mean, I can just do that. You know, it's like, oh my God, I had to get out of my way. It took me so long to get out of my way, but I had to figure it out. And that's just an inner journey. And that's just, I'm glad I figured it out because it was getting kind of getting old.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think all of us get there if you stick with it long enough. You're going to, we figure that out.
And I think you made a great point, man. I love that. I want to kind of emphasize what you said to get out of your own way. I think a lot of times, I know so many musicians, man. Like, I can give you a perfect example. One of my dear friends, he knows who he is. He gets in his
own. Well, thank you.
Shout out to you, Brent. You know,
sorry, you left it right open there. I had to.
Yo, it's true. Yo, it's so true, man. It's like, it's so many people that get in their own way, man. Like, you know, look, this particular cat, man, he's been working on the same album for 10 years, man. Literally. I was like, you know, I just spoke to him the other day. I was like, are you crazy? I'm like, it's been 10 years. I was like, you could have had a baby and the baby be 10 years old today. I'm like, you're bugging. Right, like, and he's like, nah, well, you know, it just got to be like that. And I'm like, bro, you're gonna be like 80 years old, still working on this, you know. So I say that to say, it's like, we gotta stop overthinking. We have to stop, you know, just putting ourselves through this mental chaos of overthinking. And sometimes it's like, just get through it, get out your own way, don't overthink it, and just let it be. Because one thing I learned is that what's meant for you is meant for you, right? At the end of the day, if it's meant for you, that's your blessing, whatever it is, you're going to get it. There's nothing that could stop it. It just is what it is. Like, when I think back of all the success that I've had, and I'm sure you could attest to this too, brother, at the end of the day, it's like, what's meant to be is meant to be. It is what it is. If we overthink it, it's not going to change the fact that it's not meant for you, right? You're just going to drive yourself crazy about why you didn't get it, right? So, you know, I think that's the key point you made, you know?
There is one way that you won't get it, and that is if you overthink to the point that you don't do it, which, and I completely agree with you on that point. That is something that also I've come to, now kind of get. And it was through it at an older age. And that is, for me personally, that is because of watching the way that the trailer music world works. And the once you accept the risk factor involved, that there is a certain hit ratio that you can, you know, over time looking at your placements, you can figure out how you're doing and kind of judge your progress. But it's difficult to get 100% hit ratio. Uh-huh. And so, or 100% percentile, or you know what I'm saying. So, but if you are overthinking to the point. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's what I was going to say about that. I got it on turn around there. Sorry. You made me think of this. I now accept that what will happen. Partly out of not even so much of a faith leap, because I had to look back on the stuff that I've gotten. I had to, in order for me to take a faith leap on myself, funnily, I had to like go look at the numbers to see that, oh, wait a minute, you do things that set you up for success later. Because the way it works is a lot of my tracks, like some of them will get placed within a couple months of having done them and they hit the trailer house. And because that's just the way the timing happened to work, that there was a movie coming out that track fit for and blah, 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 and that lined up. But other times, a track I did 5 years ago will finally find a home. And it's like, I've written that thing off. I forgot that I even made that track. But that is an example of planting a seed that just takes 5 years to grow. So, you know, there is no reason to think, like, to back you up here. Now, for me, based on my own history, this is me talking to myself, on all the overthinking, if I'm overthinking about, like, you know, how everything's going to go wrong, why am I not looking back to things I did 5 years ago and go, those things randomly seem to just also hit because you did the work in the past. So why are you writing off that's not going to happen? It happens all the time. So stop freaking out, dude. That stuff will happen. If I ever freak out, not saying that I do. But occasionally, you're like, hey, lately, you know, we had the writer's strike, solidarity with the writers and the Actors Guild. And, you know, it's like, that's definitely a lot of people, not their fault, but a lot of people are waiting to get back to work, and so are the writers, and fully in support of all that, by the way. My point, though, is that, you know, it's like, there's going to be an impact. There already is an impact on the music supervision world, for example. I know a lot of music supervisors are not working. They're in solidarity with, you know, as far as I can tell, with those striking. And so it's like, yeah, when stuff like that happens, you gotta, like, you start to get nervous a little bit, like, how's that gonna affect my lane or whatever? And, you know, hey, even if it did affect your lane, you gotta believe that you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be okay. You're always gonna take care of yourself, you, which is what I say to me, which is another way of showing up for yourself. So I've had to kind of figure all this stuff out, and I know people have been saying this for years, and words like that, and what you just said, what's for you will be for you, and that stuff just went right by me for my whole life. A lot of people have said that, and I just wasn't ready to receive that, I guess you would say, because I couldn't wrap my head around it yet. And I'm glad I do now, because it's exhausting to be just in a struggle all the time. And you know, creating art is already a struggle. It's a beautiful struggle. And at the end, you have that success of, I finished it, which is its own, like, momentous occasion, right? So adding more on top of that is just ridiculous. Life's hard for everybody. Everything is hard. Nothing is, like, easy. If it is, you have a really weird life, and that ain't gonna last too. So,
it's a quotable. You have a really weird life.
It's uncommon, let's say. You know, most people are not one percenters. You know what I mean? And they have their own problems.
Yeah.
Can't say I empathize, but you know. So, but it's like it. Life isn't easy for anybody in their own ways, and it's relative to each person. But putting aside the actual, you know, like, systemic oppression of people's, I'm speaking just about the individual and, like, you know, what's my place and so on. What's my thing? What do I find? You're not given that answer. You got to figure it out, and you're not owed that answer. Is what I finally get. Like, the universe doesn't owe me that answer. I mean, I do. So get to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it feels a lot better to be a little more, what do they say, aligned with
aligned. Walking the line. Yeah.
Yeah. With the concept that the time that we put in, the belief that we have, that we hold in ourselves, showing up for ourselves in our, within the work itself and in other ways to ourselves, will pay off. I mean,
yeah.
Why won't it? It's just as likely that it will that it won't. So I guess this is for all the people out there, who've not heard that, and maybe you're like, that's some armchair philosophy you got to go down there, bro. But seriously, it's like, there isn't. I don't have time for negativity or anywhere, in any form anymore. I can't. Like, life's too short. I get it now. I get it.
Yeah, it doesn't serve you, you know. And I think that's the thing. It's like we're humans. We experience an array of emotions. It could be happy, sad. But to your point, you know, negativity does not serve you. It's like, I remember a quote from Gandhi. He was like, you know, anger and hatred is like a burning coal, right? And when you hold on to it, you don't hurt anybody but yourself. So ultimately, it's like people have to come to a point where they realize, all right, I'm either going to be productive or destructive when it comes to myself, right? Do I want to have healthy thoughts, you know, or do I just want to be negative all the time? You know, negativity consumes you. You know, it's no time for that.
Now, brother, with the quotes, you're amazing, man. You also say the best stuff in, like, 10% of the time that I do, or 1%. I now aspire to your model. I'm gonna be like him.
yeah,
that's really well said, man.
Bro, it's
dropping
so
the Gandhi too, you get 10,000 points. 10,000 points. Hey,
what, making it rain.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true, bro. It's so true, man. Like, you know, you dropped a lot of gems, man. Well, you know what? I got another question for you. You know, because we talk about mantras a lot on this show, because our podcast, you know, you're familiar with it, bro. Like, we don't just talk about music, because at the end of the day, like, we focus on the entire person, right? It's like, you know, musicians are people. We have an array of emotions, and sometimes our emotions can be that much more erratic because we are creatives, right? So it's like we're all over the place. So, you know, we talk about mantras, you know, mind, body, and soul. So, like, you know, mine's is like persistence, wisdom, resistance. That's like my favorite mantra, just to continue through life, never giving up. So what is a mantra that you have for yourself that's kind of kept you going throughout the years, man?
Yeah, there's a couple. One throughout the years for sure has been, if insert name can do it, I can do it.
Facts.
And I insert that name, and it has run the gamut from a peer of mine to, you know, Trent Reznor to, and it doesn't have to be in music. I've used this in everything, you know, every lane of living, whether it's, you know, training. Like, I'm really into physical fitness now, which I wasn't for so long in my life. And I just never saw myself as a person. Like, I wasn't good at sports when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I also didn't really just play them. So maybe I was, I don't know. I was playing on the piano and drawing pictures or whatever. So I just didn't have any background in it, but got this into my head that I couldn't do it or whatever. So, then I started. So when I got into that a few years, or like 6 or 7 years ago, I started like, following fitness, people, on this one good thing about maybe about social media. It was like you know, follow a trainer and stuff like that. And so that was really empowering, and it's how I'm accomplishing like everything. It's so, I've got a name of someone on my wall right now with a paper. Like, I've got some morning things that I'm looking at, you know, for like every few months there's a rotation of things that I want to be top of mind and I look at, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's just one right there. If so-and-so can do it, I can do it. It's related to a specific, and a different thing that I'm working on.
That's fire.
That's really, really impactful. And then I found that other people use that too. So anybody here, if you don't do that. Find That's someone powerful, that you bro. See them having success and say, if they can do it, you can do it, because they can. That's it's like, fact. Think about it. Like, when I read that Michael Jordan was something that I read.
When he was cut from his high school basketball team, was that it? Or?
That's not what I was thinking of, but there's probably, I think you're going to prove my point. There's a bunch of examples. I was reading one thing where he was like in the up at whatever time, shooting three-pointers over and over and over again. You know why he did that? Because he wasn't good at shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
Which maybe it seems obvious that, you know, people aren't born, and here we're back to what you said earlier, people aren't, you know, necessarily putting aside like, you know, a genius level, like a Mozart. Even Prince, you know, our man Prince, the late great Prince, had immense talent, but he worked it. He works. Dude built a bed in the studio to sleep at Sunset Sound. Right. It's like, I gotta get back to work. Yeah. So it's like, nobody's born great. You become great through, you know, that self-forge you put yourself through. So that's one. The other one, which is more recent, is a list of morning affirmations that I do, which are really helpful for me, and they're related to, part of it's the overthinking that you're talking about. Like, you know, you get a lot of great ideas, you want to get stuff done, you're like, there's just like, you got to, it's helpful to remind yourself, hey, just focus on one thing, it's okay, you don't have to solve every problem at one time. And especially when you're running like multiple lanes of your business, and you understand this, when you're doing sync licensing, you're running a podcast, whatever else that you're doing. I've got several different things going on in addition to my trailer music lane. So it's like, there's a lot to manage. It's easy to overthink it. It's easy to get overwhelmed. So pursuant to that, I have a mantra about overthinking, which is basically don't overthink. But reminding myself, just reminding myself of that is necessary every morning, at least every other day or every third day, because I realize I've been doing it again around some particular thing. Mm-hmm. One of the other ones on the list is, this is relatively new in the last few years, but, and I didn't feel I needed to say it because I just felt like, you know, like in the studio, I know what I'm doing, whatever. But in other areas where I was of my life that I'm working on new things, or in areas where I don't have a, you know, a decade long history of doing it, there's uncertainty. And so, saying to myself, the mantra that, I trust myself to make the highest and best decisions for myself is really important and impactful for me, because it's a reminder that even if I don't know exactly what I'm doing at a particular moment on a particular issue, I'll figure it out, because I always have.
Facts.
And even if I haven't always have in that particular area, I will figure it out. And so leaning into the intuition and the sense of, I guess the intuition part of yourself is really important. That's how I create. And I was kind of like not in touch with that for a lot of years. I became like very rational minded, which is important to me, but being grounded so I can make sure I'm achieving goals. I needed that personally from when I was younger. But once I, you know, got things all kind of lined up and I had a system and I, you know, was organized and more goal oriented than when I first started, just kind of playing around the studio, I needed to kind of get back in touch with how I actually create, and being leaning into the intuition, the process of how music is made, and just trusting the process. All that was more important. It's, you know, it was a word I shied away from a lot, and that was, it's really kind of more of a spiritual thing. I mean, writing music to me is incredibly, I guess, let's say spiritual. It is, it's this connection with, there's another word, the numinous. That is incredibly fulfilling, and that you can't cut yourself off from in this just completely rational way. And sometimes when you don't know the answer, you just have to have faith in yourself that you're going to figure it out and listen to your gut on it. And I don't think I was for a while, or I was afraid to, because I was afraid I would be like losing control of the outcome that I know I'm going to get to if I just got to figure these other things out. But it was really stress inducing when you don't have the answer at the moment. So definitely trust yourself. You're going to get there. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up. You're going to get there. So that's a reminder. And I think, you know, I was told that it's important to say those things out loud so that your brain hears them.
Facts. Facts. Facts.
So I do say it out loud.
It's like an affirmation. You know, like you're affirming it, you know, because people don't realize like words have power. Like, you know, we can speak life or we can speak negativity. So it's like constantly affirming, hey, this is what it is. This is what I'm going to achieve. You know, not what I might achieve, what I'm going to achieve. You know, like it's what it is, you know.
I think someone told me that concept, what echoing or touching on what you just said about positive and negative, saying things out loud, that it has to do with neuroplasticity and the way the brain works. I'm not sure if this comes from DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, or if it's CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, but the idea I was told is that there is, the brain doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. So if you're saying things out loud, but you're using negatives when you're saying it, I mean, it could start with just like, I hate myself, right? You know, like, so I got to tell my brain that's, no, I don't. Because you know cognitively that you don't, maybe, but your brain doesn't know, because your brain is not, I'm not a neuroscientist, but that's the idea. So even when you're saying affirmations, you don't want to say, structure the sentences in negatives. But the point is, that really speaks to not being around, not just saying negative stuff about yourself out loud to yourself. Clearly, it's just on its face. Anyone will go like, well, yeah, don't say negative things. That's not loving yourself. Mm-hmm. But really, there's also a scientific reason not to. And also being around people who are doing it. Like, yeah. I don't need to hear that. You know, work it out. Work it out. It's, I mean, I empathize with it. I do. I'm not. But, you know, someone else's story or someone else's trip is not my business. You know,
that's a fact.
No one else's business is my business. None of it. Unless, you know, they choose to invite me or I want to be and there's something else going on. But you know what I mean? It's like, protect your mindset. This is the mindset. That's
a fact, Brent. And to your point, a lot of it is self-fulfilling prophecy too. That's what people don't realize, right? It's like if someone wakes up and they say, man, I'm gonna have a shitty day today, right? And then they stub their toe on the bed. They're like, see, I told you, right? But then it's like if they wake up and say, you know what, today's gonna be a good day, And, you know, they wake up, they walk outside, and they see $20 bill on the ground. They say, man, I knew it. It was going to be a good day today. You know, so it's kind of like self-fulfilling the prophecy day to day that, hey, it's going to be a good day. Of course, bad things might happen, but that doesn't mean it has to dictate the overall tone of my day. You know, so you're right, man. You know, my mindset is definitely key.
Yeah, I think, and something that goes along with that, that I'm starting to, it's taken me a long time, but to really appreciate is the that concept of the now, and that, you know, that there really isn't a past or a future. You know, there's that whole discussion, but when you're talking about, you know, stubbing your toe, okay, it hurts in that moment, but then also that moment is the moment you're in. And the things over which you can control, which is what's going on in your head. You can, you know, acknowledge you're having thoughts, experience them, let them pass through you, then address them and keep going. Protecting your peace, I guess, is another way to say that. Making sure that your perspective is, you're keeping your perspective positive, because you just said you have control over that, how you interpret what's going on and how you're reacting, how you frame it, you know? Uh-huh. So it's like, you could, in 2 hours, you could be gone. So, you know, I don't, there just isn't time for like, and by isn't time, I mean, especially after, you know, when the pandemic started, you know, for me, like really reevaluating what's important, who's important, how long do we have? Right. I mean, so many people are gone now, millions. And, that I'm sure none of whom were planning on it, you know, and we've all lost people at this point. And so it's like, it really started with my music, thinking about, you know, I'm spending so much of my time working on this. I have been, of my life, but particularly in the last 7 years on this lane, in order to really, build my brand in that side of the business. It's like, if I'm not in, if I'm only looking at the potential end result of that, like years down the road, like someone said it this way, like if you're always looking at the top of the mountain on your way up to it, you're not experiencing walking up the mountain.
The journey.
And I just, you know, never gave myself the time to even like, I couldn't even imagine like getting down with that idea, because it's like, don't you understand? I have to work. This is, you know, I got deadlines and whatever. And it's like I do spend more time now when I'm in the process of doing it, being like, this is, I'm so grateful that I'm doing this. I mean, I've always have been grateful. However, I've not really enjoyed it. I love listening to my music when it's playing in the theater. And I love listening to my tracks when they're done, because, oh, I did that. Hey, that was cool. I don't remember doing that. But the process of doing it is, initially, at least, so the first 3 or 4 hours, awful. It's awful. It's still, it's always probably, it will never not be. Mm-hmm. But because it's like, let's make the idea. You know, it's not, I'm sure you know, it's like people that are great writers don't write when they're inspired. They always have notebooks, and they're sitting down, they're writing, and you know, that's not fun always. So for me, for that side of the process.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to now spend a lot more time, or at least some time, acknowledging when I'm doing it, how lucky I am to be doing it at all, that I can still do it at this point in my life, and that I have something that can not only feed me and sustain me, but physically, but also, dare I say, spiritually, you know. So it is the now moments. Here I am doing this thing, and whatever happens at the end, you know, what's, like you said, what's for me will be for me. If this track is going to get placed, it's going to get placed. I'm going to do my best to do it, but I'm certainly going to enjoy the process when I'm doing it, because this is my whole life.
That's, you know, fact.
I don't want to get to the end of it if I'm lucky enough to be aware that I've reached an end point. I just don't, suddenly something happens where I don't know it's the end.
Yeah.
I want to be able to look back and go, that was fun, not, Oh my God, I made it through. You don't make it through. That is surviving. That is not thriving. And I don't want to survive life.
That's a fact.
I feel like I was thriving in my attitude. Even if I was thriving, I don't think I'm alone in that. So, just a word out there for everyone. It's okay. If you're experiencing that too.
That's a fact.
Just keep doing it. Keep your eye on the ball. Is my friend of mine used to say.
So many gems right there, Brent. So many gems, man. You know, we appreciate you, bro. And I had to bring up the fact too that for those that may not know, my brother Brent will be speaking at the music licensing event that we have next year as well, man. So definitely, you know, tap in, man. Brent's going to be speaking a lot of gems. It's going to be fire. We just appreciate you, bro. So tell the people, you know, how can they tap in with you, whether that be social media, your website, like what are some outlets that they could connect with you, brother?
Yeah, you can go to my website, brentdanielsmusic.com. It's my name with the word music. All my socials are listed at the top of the page there, and you can check out some of my work there as well. IG, and so the other ones, it's at Brent Daniels or at Brent Daniels Music. But probably just go to my website, and you can email me from there as well.
Dope, man. Well, look, we appreciate you, bro. This was fire, man. You're like, you know, dropping gem after gem, man. We in here in the jewelry store. You know,
we were digging for gems, like my IG meme. And I got to tell you, it's been an honor to be here with you. You were dropping the succinct gems. I love that. Thank you so much, man. I'm looking forward to that conference, and I wish you all the best, luck, success, and everything you in your empire of all your things gone. It's so cool. And thank you for this. Thank you for including me.
Anytime, brother, you know we appreciate you, man. Like, yo, we appreciate you, man. We're gonna continue to build as always, man. And shout out to you, shout out to the listeners as always, man. Appreciate y'all tapping in with us as always, and until next week, peace.